Madabada Boisai, lessons from the lathe, Parshas Shmini, Haba'aleinu L'Toiva. We have I hope, what will be a very, very important message for us. Obviously, for many of us, including myself, maybe that's why I'm pushed to it. I still have Purim on my mind. Had the schus of going to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, being here for regular Purim, then going to Yerushalayim for Shushan Purim, and last night going to Purim and seeing everybody loading up their cars on Motzei Shabbos. Literally, most of the people, I don't know if I did a real analysis, but most of the people were actually still wearing costumes, which I don't understand, including like adults. They were dressed like, oh my God, look, he's dressed like a chassid, he's got a shtreimel. No, I didn't mean that. But real, they were really dressed up. It was strange. So Purim is like kind of on our minds. So this is an idea that I've been thinking about a lot as I wanted to dedicate our shiur today for the very, very difficult tragedy that happened last week. And my daughter pointed out, who had the schus of going to the Kotel with, she pointed out that it's very sad that you have 12 almanos that are sitting in Shiva, 12 children of the great Rabbi Ettinger, and we kind of forget about it. We don't even think about the amazing, heroic person that he was, B'chaim. Forget about his last act, which obviously was quite heroic, turning his car around, knowing that he had 12 children and a wonderful wife, and saying, I know that the guy has an M16, and I only have a revolver, but I'm going to try to hurt him, and which he did. And Baruch Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shalom, gave us the schus of not waiting months and months to have these terrorists killed. Both of them were killed over the last number of days. Rav Ettinger was such a special individual, and unique, and those that watched the Levaya, very, very difficult Levaya, he had just prepared for the residents of South Tel Aviv, where he was very involved, Rosh Yeshiva there, Hes Yeshiva that he established there, and the people who, we use the term Chiloni, but certainly a lot of them are much more religious than I will ever be, those people were so enthralled by him, and the beauty that he had was total Ahavas Yisrael that he had. He had just prepared Purim for them. Meshach Manos was already packed. There was already signs of him reading the Megillah, Matanas Evyonim, V'chulu. And unfortunately, he was murdered. Hashem Yivkam Damo. Just read you one quote. Rabbi Ettinger dedicated his life to helping his fellow Jews. And in that spirit, his family has chosen to donate all of his organs to bring health to others in fighting. So even B'misa, who is Mekadosh Shem Hashem again. And let us not forget Sergeant Gal Kedan, who Hashem Yimkam Damo, 19 years old, from Be'er Sheva, who was a very talented music player, and leaves around admiring teachers, students, at the conservatory in his city. He loved to play music, and he spread that love around him. Very, very difficult. And when we think about it, one has to think, and this is not obviously the first time for this to happen right before Purim, but to have 12 little kids shiver during Purim, what is the message here? And I want to just preface my words. I want to be very careful with prefacing my words by saying that in no way, shape, or form am I trying to say this happened because of this. I am not that guy. Chas v'shalom lo aleinu, I would never do that. But I think that there's a very important message that I did not come up with, but a message from the great Rav David Feinstein, and then we'll see something beautiful from the Rishna, which I think will encapsulate this idea. We continue to daven for the great cholim of Klal Yisrael that should, Imritz Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shalom, should continue giving him refuah shlema. Another soldier, Natan Ilan Ben Shena Sipora, who's still sitting in a coma from a recent terror attack. Beilobas Sara Esther Peril. All the cholim besoch shach Yisrael. A family friend of ours was just nifter just about an hour and a half ago. Mr. Schombach, Bert Schombach, who was someone who my family knew, both my in-laws and my parents. The Rabbeinu Shalom should give their family, he should be a Melech Tzion, and give their family Nechama. So, Vayhi B'yom HaShemini, right? As you guys know, a lot of times I can't get past the first words of the parsha. Vayhi B'yom HaShemini. So the Gemara Megillah tells us, obviously Megillah, you know, I gotta still be in Purim. The Gemara Megillah tells us the following thing. There is a Mesoira. From where? None other than the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Ko makom shenamer vayihi, eino ela lashon tsar. Anytime it starts with vayihi, of course the beginning of the Megillah, vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, what were they doing sitting in a Suda commemorating the what was mistakenly seen as the 70 years of the Beis HaMikdash, supposed to be rebuilt, but had not been rebuilt. Oh, how wrong they were. Lashon tsar vayihi b'mei Achashverosh. Right? And then he goes on unbelievably in all the different vayihis. The vayihi, when it came to vayihi achol ha'adam, liroiv, and of course, for many different places. I don't want to single out one of them, except the one that must be singled out, vayihi b'yom hashmini. Speaking about the death of Nadav v'Yaviyo. Vayihi yom echad shichav Nadav v'Yaviyo. Right? B'yom hashmini. So it's lashon tsar. So ask Rav David Feinstein. Very interesting. Because we were told that this would be a day that was marred, the happiest day. And in fact, the Midrash Agoda on this Gemara says that we don't understand. If Charlotte Ta'er, I can't explain to you what the great, how the great Simcha was. Yom haya Simcha bo, v'echi itma bar Midrash, v'haya melamed shaya Simcha lefanav, ki yom shenivra boi ha'olam, b'maseh bereishis. Right, v'nemer vayihi erev, v'kan omer vayihi bayom, v'yesh ledaktik bazeh. Right, that it was marred on this day. Right, it was like the world was created, but there was something that was negative on this day. So, as Rav David Feinstein in his Kol Dodi, he says, "I don't understand something." Very pashut. It didn't happen yet. The dedication is now happening. We know, but yom hashmini, get it? It's now Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as we'll be in next week. Get to go home. And, right, it comes out that it's Rosh Chodesh. Everybody's happy, but this didn't happen yet. It's going to happen soon in the parsha. So why is Vayihi Lashon Tsar, number one? Number two. The Gemara here says in Megillah, how do we know it's so sad? Oh, let me tell you what happened, Vayihi. Nadav v'Navi. We know the story. What's so miyuchad about this? And of course, why does this sadness outweigh the joy of the Hakamas HaMishkan, of the dedication of the Mishkan? Simply said, they were great gedolim, but they were just two people, right? This wasn't Moshe v'Aaron. It was the sons of Aaron. Very, very sad, but everybody's going to be sad because of that? Okay, Vayidom Aaron, Aaron, I understand, I get it. But why everyone? So says Rav David Feinstein the following. Hashem wanted the people to feel the joy that they merited the closeness to Hashem. A perception of the holiness of Hashem unblemished. They did Chet Egel. The Ribbono Shalom, whether you see it's for positive or negative, to bring the Mishkan to Klal Yisrael, we'll see in a moment the other side of it. But it's a tremendously positive thing because here they were mechaper on their huge chet of chet ha'egel. Seemingly, wow, amazing. And there was a tremendous amount of joy on that day. He compared it to like simchas chasen v'kala b'yom chupasa. They can't be happier. This is the happiest day. It's going to be amazing. There's no clouds, there's no darkness, there's no rain outside. This is the greatest day ever. That was the day of Hakamas HaMishkan. However, Hashem realized in His infinite wisdom, Kibiyachol B'nai Yisrael was not on the highest level to accept the pure, unadulterated, enthusiastic joy of this day. He had to have something happen, really extreme, for them to realize the joy that they should have had. To realize what it is to experience real joy. The connection to the Ribbono Shalom was marred by this physical act that would happen. As the Torah tells us, Torah says in Perek Yud, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Moshe l'Aharon asher diber Hashem, Lomar rekeve ekadesh ve'al pinei kol ha'am, echabed vayidom Aaron. So what happened? Moshe says to Aaron, and this did Hashem speaking, I shall sanctify through these who are close to me. As it said, approach and carry your brothers out of the sanctuary in the camp. So, says Rashi, what's going on over here? Amar lo Moshe la'aron. Moshe says to Aaron, Aaron achi, yadoha yisi, I knew, she yikadish habayit on the day that the Mishkan was dedicated, through the Ribbono Shelom, b'mid'oisov shel hamakom, v'hayisi soiver, and I knew something would happen. O b'cha, either you or me, ach shavroni, shem gedol mimenechem mimcha. How great a level they were. We can't understand the death. Even what they did is a shiloh, even though right afterwards we learn about not drinking, and maybe that's it. Maybe it was an esh zar. So many different possibilities. What do we learn from this? We learn that the word vayihi reminds us of the fact that we should have accepted the holiness of the day without anything having to happen for us to counteract and say, wow, that was extreme. This had to happen on this day. You often, I'm sure you've heard stories before. On the wedding day, you heard she died on the wedding day. Ay, vey. Well, it must be so difficult for them. The grandparents died. I know of a situation where someone's, the Kala's mother's father passed away, something along those lines, and they didn't tell her until after the wedding. Which is the Rabbanim said, don't say anything, let her have her simcha, and then you can tell her. Because you know, you don't have the same joy. This powerful demonstration of Hashem reminds us of this. And the greatness of these people, yes. Gemara in Zvachim says as well, this idea of who Nadav and Abihu were and how the holiness had to be taken. And one, of course, never ever explains why tragedy happens, but maybe we don't have to wonder so much about the joy of Purim. Are we truly accepting it in the appropriate and proper way? And maybe there is something wrong with us, that we need tragedy to happen to feel holiness, again, to counteract it. We say, no, we're going to be even happier on this day. No, it's not going to be. And there is tragedies, Lo Aleinu, that happened mamash on Erev Purim itself. And how is it possible that we have joy? And the Torah says, no, you have to have unbridled joy. And you guys experience this. We give a huge yashikoyach and it should be a gius kal to our soldiers who just entered the army moments ago or are entering right now. And you think to yourself of that interesting state that they were in. Right, they don't normally do this. They just started this new thing. They went on Erev Purim to get their uniforms. They have their uniforms. They're like kilo almost in the army, and now they have to go through Purim. And then Sunday they're scared to death probably that they're going in. It's very, very interesting counteraction of the two. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam has to do something pisoim right away, surprisingly. The same way Mashiach will come to us, pisoim yavo. Will be wow, I didn't expect that. And again, we're not trying to say this is why this happened, chas v'shalom. We don't understand. We don't understand the death of Nadav Avihu appropriately either, how it could have happened. But what we do understand and we have to understand is the idea behind accepting holiness, accepting simcha for what it is. And not because of other things. Not because of the state that I'm in. And to that, there's a beautiful idea of the Rishna. The Yisrael of Rishon explains, according to some of Forshim, we related the Ramban Shita on this, really, there should have been no need for a Mishkan. Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. Really, there's a Mishkan inside of all of us. Our homes are our Mishkan. I got into an argument with my son who was sitting on a table, and I said, you're not allowed to sit on a table because it's a mizbeach. He says, ah, but it's not really a mizbeach, yeah, whatever. I said, yeah, that's the way we hold, my son. Get off the table. So we have this idea. We follow this very, very, very well. The Shechina Shoyer in the house. And says the Rishonah, but we couldn't accept it
because of the Chet HaEgel. The spiritual level of every single person descended. And it became necessary to establish a physical building, the center of holiness. But the hope of hopes is that we still have that. And now that we don't have a Mishkan, we don't have a physical building. Baruch Hashem, we have a Batei Midrash, Batei Knesios, we have shuls, we have Beis Medrashes. But we also have the ability to rebuild that in our homes, in our hearts. And that's why, says the origin of the word bias, is 412. Because that's where you build what? You build the lev, the shkabi mishkan evne, in my heart I will build it. 412 and lev is 32, is 444, the word mikdash. Mikdash, which is interesting. So you'd say, well, why not mishkan? But it's actually the mikdash that was the miyuchad. Interesting, in another place where David Feinstein has this is not Rav David Feinstein's Torah, but he has gematrias. He has a sefer of gematrias, and there he explains that the first Beis Hamikdash was 410, which is Shmini. The highest level of Mikdash was not the Mishkan; it was the first Beis Hamikdash. We know the second lacked five things that weren't there. For example, most notably the Shechina. So he says that's why he says Yom Ha Shmini. Ha is the five, and Shmini is 410. Reminds us of the first Beis Hamikdash stood for 410 years. 410 years, we had unbridled closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam, like we never saw before. Not in the Mishkan, not in the second Beis Hamikdash. But we have the ability today to bring that back with our bias and our lave, our 444, our Mikdash that we're supposed to build inside of all of us. And that's the answer. The answer to terrorism, the answer to all these different difficulties is Bilvali Mishkan Evin. You can't take this away from it. You can't take away from us Simcha. You can't take away from us what we are able to do and what we're able to build. Literally moments after the attack, the next morning, plop, comes down a caravan and there's a Beis Medrash there. Rav Dov Lior gave a shir there, sitting and learning Torah Yom HaBlai. Big sign, it's just beautiful. Shachris 7:30 in the morning, Minchas at 1 o'clock. Yeah. What do you think? You're gonna do anything to us? Nah. You marred our joy, you took it away. We're gonna have more joy. Difficult, yes. I remember there was a beautiful girl who was murdered right before Rosh Chodesh Av a few years ago. Her name was Halel. And that Rosh Chodesh, her parents were sitting Shiva, and they interviewed her, Arut Sheva, interviewed her a day before, and they said, ha, Misha Nechnas Av, Matim Simcha, like, right, there's a real, they said, no, it's still tomorrow, still Rosh Chodesh, still Halal. Our daughter's name is Halal, and she said, I want you to do all shuls, I beg of you, do Halal for Halal, do Halal for Halal. Say a special hallel. Don't be marred. Don't cry over hallel. It's happy. Why do we have to have bad things happen to us for us to recognize how good we have it? Isn't that horrible? That's a horrible reality. The Mishkan was marred on the happiest day. The Midrash Agada taught us what? It was like mamish the day of Maaseh Bereishis. There wasn't an... Wow. The Jews had that connection again. We have that connection again. But we have to build it, says the Rishna, inside of each of us. And nobody can take that away. Nobody can take away my Mishkan that's inside of me. Mishkan is inside of each of us. We're able to build that. You can further learn out that we are the Levim of today, the famous Maamar Chazal, that it's us, we're the ones who's going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash today, because we're doing what Shevet Levi should be doing. We're learning Torah. We're doing mitzvahs and chesed. I believe that this message is so central to where we stand, where we are, especially Mitzvah Hashem, if Hashem should help me. We have one more week. I'll give you another message for your Pesach Zman. But when we start thinking about the little break we're going to have, we say, Bilvavli Mishkan Evna. How am I continuing to build and let the fire burn inside of me? People who have to leave. I had the success of learning with some of the boys who are going to the army, who went to the army today. And that's exactly the point that I said to them. You have to know that Baruch Hashem, you're in this cocoon, right? Mikdash Ma'at, of a base medrash. But now you're going to go out to the real world. How do you build it? How do you keep the flame burning inside of you? How do you have that mishkan build inside of you? You might not know this famous line. It's from My Day. It's a famous movie. They said, if you build it, it will come. Change the lashon a little bit. But if you build the mishkan inside, the Ribbono Shel'olam will come. But you have to be ready to do that. You have to be willing to do that. And despite sadness and difficulty maybe in your life, or things that you can't explain that are happening to the world, I'm still building it because I know the Shekhinah will come to me. It's a very high level that we have to take with us in Mirtz Hashem. With that, we should be zeicha for only b'soiris toivus for Klal Yisrael, and we should be zeicha to not only build our own personal mishkans inside of us, but be zeicha to build the Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, the Meheir v'Yameinu. Amen v'Yameinu.